Welcome to Ron Paul, Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. Unaccompanied children keep streaming across the border. They're coming by the tens of thousands. Last year, it may have been 25,000. This year so far, 60,000, and that may swell to 100,000 next year. Now they face hunger and robbery. Many of these kids are brutalized along the way. They're often robbed even by the police in Mexico on their journey to the United States. And then it's the grueling deserts, and that's followed by their arrival in the U.S. And then what? Well, nobody knows, but it seems, Dr. Paul, that the place to really start is by asking why all of this is happening to begin with.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, and the people who don't want to hear the real reasons why we have this mess argue the case. No, you can't do that. Don't go back and look at history. You got to deal with the problem right now. But, you know, having been in medicine for a while, you know, I can deal with your fever and the immediate problem, but I still have to deal with the cause. Because even if you feel, it makes somebody feel better for a while, if it's going to come back again, it hasn't solved any problem. So I see it in those terms, and that's why I think it is important to try to figure this out. But in my mind, I think this is one of the biggest messes that I remember in my lifetime. And there's been a lot of those, you know, when you consider all the wars that have gone on and all the economic problems. But this is just an unbelievable event. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids flocking over in trains loaded with people on top of them and people dying. The only time I saw trucks and buses and all like this overloaded was in third world countries. But here they are coming to our border. So it is a real mess. But I am convinced in my own mind that we would not face a problem like this any place in the world if we had more sensible governments, if we had more free markets, if we understood, you know, where poverty comes from and where violence comes from. And there's been plenty of reasons for that. And it's not only, you know, with the countries where these people are leaving, and they are justified in wanting to leave. I think a lot of Americans who just really, really want to crack down and not let anybody come in usually end up saying, you know, I think I understand. If I were in their shoes, I'd want to come too or try to improve this situation. But I am certain that the problem we face is a combination of bad policy here in the United States and bad economic policy and around, not only around, not only in Central America, but around the world as well. And poverty is basically caused by government. It's bad economic policy. It's a bad monetary policy. And Keynesian type of economic intervention causes all this poverty. But here in the United States, in our border problem, probably most of it has come from the drug gangs, the drug wars, and the fact that we have all these drugs made illegal. I mean, we had a pretty good example in our history with the prohibition of alcohol on what kind of violence erupted from that. And they couldn't stand this whole concept of prohibition. And that's what's happened with the drug laws. And fortunately, there's a shift in attitude there. But that doesn't help us, you know, for today and dealing with the children. What do you do with the children? And how do you solve this problem? I think it is important that we understand economic problems, that we understand war on drugs problems, we understand civil liberties. We still can't say, well, those are long term, we'll just forget about the kids. Yesterday, when I was pressed on this, and this probably annoyed a few people, when they said, well, what would you do? What would you do? And I said, well, I am personally incapable of physically rounding up, you know, 1,000 kids on the streets on our borders, packing them in a bus, and physically carrying them across in a truck and just sort of dumping them there. So since I can't do it, I'm not going to advocate that as a policy. I think one thing that we can do is kids that have come over and they're looking for their parents, and their parents are already here, and that's what they're looking for. I think allowing them to go where the parents are is certainly a lot better than going to the Congress and to the taxpayers and saying, well, yes, we're going to tax you more and we're going to take care of the children. Well, I think they can be taken care of in a much better way if we allow parents to do it. Well, what would you do if there aren't any parents? Well, maybe there's a church would help. But what do we do? We penalize the church and enforce a law and say, no, you can't help people like this. Or if people come into this country and they want a job and they happen to be hired by a businessman, the businessman becomes the criminal. And I think, you know, I think that is just wrong. We, if we look at the desire for immigration here, it's the mess they have in Central America, but it's also our immigration laws. We have immigration laws which says that it's very hard to get a work permit. And there's a lot of people who need workers. I certainly had to talk to a lot of people in my district while in Congress of individuals looking for workers. And if you say, oh, well, why don't you just go out and hire them? There's a lot of people complaining they want jobs. Well, American workers wouldn't take the jobs because they weren't—they did not have the incentive to work because they were able to get a decent amount of money through the welfare system. So welfareism causes people to take jobs less so, and then there's a higher demand for labor. And then the workers here in this country resent the fact that they come, individuals come and show them up, and they work harder. When you try to increase the immigration for workers, then there's too many roadblocks and they can't come in. But I am certain that if we had been more generous in granting work permits, let people come and go like we have in our past, it would be a good foreign aid system, quasi-foreign aid system. Is people would come and work and they would go home and take their money home and help their families. And that is a lot better than preventing people from coming that really want to work, encourage people to come to get on our welfare rolls and become voters. At the same time, sending money through foreign aid down to Central America, there's a much better market solution to this. And that's with a lot less government, the government getting out of the way. But it's a lot more difficult today with so much emotions going on because people don't recognize exactly why we have a weak economy and high unemployment, and they see immigrants as a threat. And it's very easy to, you know, find a scapegoat and say, well, it's all the immigrants' fault, instead of looking to governments and their policies. But policies of governments created this. This is not a natural phenomenon. And it's the coercion of governments taxing one group to pay for another group. And I've never supported this notion that if you come illegally and you're here for a short period of time, we have to treat you where you all of a sudden have the right to vote and vote for more welfare. So under the circumstances, I think that should be put on the back burner, this whole idea that how are we going to deal with these millions, not only allow them to stay, but when are they going to get to vote? And that to me, I don't think makes any sense. And it would be a lot less important. You know, there are countries in this world which are allow people to come and go rather freely to work, but nobody even thinks about becoming a citizen. How many people go to Japan, you know, and work over there, and their first goal is, how do I become a citizen and a voter? But they go and sometimes live there for decades. And I think that's a much better approach than trying to, satisfy everybody's demands. And I would I'd much prefer a more market-oriented, immigration policy.
You know, Dr. Paul, a hidden part of the story really is the hand of the United States in the militarization of these countries in Central America. And Honduras, I guess, is a good example. You know, we choose military side in a coup and so on, and they end up in economies and countries and economies that are militarized on the one hand, but not prosperous on the other hand, because accordingly, the market doesn't prevail, the military prevails. In addition to the drug wars and the drug lords, this is another contributing element to this exodus.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, if they were thriving, why would they want to leave? And I don't think people want to go like 1,000 miles away and live with people they're not used to living with and learn a new language. They have to be very, very desperate. But our policies have never been very very good, in my estimation, in Central and South America. We were always wanting to be the domineering force and picking and choosing and getting on people on each other, you know, on different sides of these fights. Just think of the Iran-Contra affair, how that went on and how our CIA got involved and how we promote these drug wars. So It is a big problem, but of course we have two things: changing the fundamental problems that we have, at the same time trying to deal with individuals, you know, that have come over here, and what are we going to do? And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be pretty annoyed of anybody. Like, they might take what I'm saying now is being pretty soft, you know, on immigration. But I just think it's very important that we do our best to help the people, but also solve the problems, but not subsidize something. Once you subsidize illegal immigration and welfareism and all these things, believe me, you're going to get more of it. And I would like to emphasize and promote liberty. And if they come for that purpose, to work hard and take care of themselves, that's a different story entirely.
Yeah, I think a key to what you have said is that we want to find solutions that avoid institutionalizing these people for a long term in a government warehouse. That's the worst possible environment for them under any circumstances. Dr. Paul, thank you for another informative conversation and podcast. And thank you for listening and for telling your friends about our weekly podcast. I'm Charles Guillen.